Welcome to the Bear Arms Show. Your fun, sometimes witty source for news, commentary, and interviews. We focus on efforts to protect and restore the right to keep and bear arms. Arm yourself with the information you need to protect your rights. With your hosts, John and Michael.
It's that time again for the Bear Arms Show, a pandemonium-inducing podcast of pandemic proportions without the propaganda. I am your host, John Willett, joined as always by my trusty brother and fellow host, Mr. Michael Willett.
Trusty brother.
Trusty brother.
Good evening.
Good evening, yes. Good evening. Yes. How is it out there in Transylvania and or Idaho?
Well, it's good. It's good. We've had a rash of break-ins into vehicles. Other than that, not a whole lot going on.
Not a whole lot going on, huh?
Mm-hmm. Not yeah. All the snow like you guys are getting.
Yes, yes. The inches in, well, the inch and inch of snow. It's just crazy out here. It's probably right. Worse in other parts, but we haven't gotten a whole lot down here. This week on the show, we're going to talk about an article Mike found. Talks a little bit about replica firearms identification training. And if you're saying, what is that? You're not alone. We're also going to have a bit of a discussion on trends that we see in social media. On such things as, you know, reading more than the headline of something. They're often sensationalized and misleading.
To get your attention.
Yes. And if you only read the headline and then respond, you may look like a fool. But for more on that, listen to late in the episode. We're going to be starting, as we always do, by going to Mike with the words of wisdom.
And episode 8, words of wisdom, come from Stephen Albrook from That Every Man Be Armed in 1984. And he said, in recent years, it has been suggested that the Second Amendment protects the collective right of states to maintain militias, while it does not protect the right of the people to keep and bear arms. If anyone entertained this notion in the period during which the Constitution and the Bill of Rights were debated and ratified, it remains one of the most closely guarded secrets of the 18th century, for no known writings surviving from the period between 1787 and 1791 states such a thesis.
And that was Mr. Stephen Albrook, who's done quite a bit of journeyman's level work. Yeoman's level work. I don't know. What's a really high level of work?
I don't know.
Artisan. Well, let's just say he's a really educated guy who's written a lot of books. Yeah, agreed. Usually he's got an idea what he's talking about.
Scholarly.
Yes, he's very scholarly. That's an excellent choice of words. You go, Mr. Michael.
Word.
Word. Yes. In a word. Word. Or in a word, scholarly. Show. Faux show. I see where you're headed here. I don't know if we like it.
I'm not going there.
You're not going there?
No.
I appreciate that. Thank you. So, we got a little bit of news. Actually, we have a lot of news this week. I don't know. What's going on out there? What's causing all this news?
Recently, FoxNews.com published an opinion paper that was written by John Lott, and he went after the Violence Policy Center in dropping stats because as they made the claim that there were no stats that purported such information as gun ownership and concealed carry and, you know, your right to bear arms has no bearing on keeping yourself or any one of your family members safe. So he did a quick drop some knowledge on you guys and let the stats speak for themselves.
Yeah, when you're throwing out their murder manslaughter statistics year by year, you're kind of delving into the weeds, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Would you say that he was dropping stats like a boss?
I would say he was dropping stats like a boss.
Yes. I'd also say that John Lott is another scholarly fellow.
I would agree.
Who do you think's more scholarly?
What, John Lott or Stephen Holbrook?
Yeah. Like, if they had a skull off.
Boy, I don't know.
Be like, I got more citations than you.
I don't know.
I don't know
either. I don't know.
We'll have to look that up.
Considering Stephen Holbrook published a book in 1984 with the words of wisdom that we read tonight, I don't know if John Lott was dropping stats like a boss back then.
I don't know. More Guns, Less Crime came out quite a while ago, the first edition. I don't know if it was 1984 or not. We're going to find out here, though. Published 1998, so no, it wasn't 1984.
Right.
But I'm sure he had stuff before that, too.
So, don't believe all the anti-gun rhetoric that you hear, and check into their sources, because those people are infamous for the, what they say, like 157 school shootings since Sandy Hook, or whatever their outrageous number was.
Yeah, they had some crazy number for school shootings since Sandy Hook, and it was anybody who had ever thought about being inside a school zone, even if it was after hours, and they were,
Right, BB guns included.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff. But they're trying to portray it as school shootings like Sandy Hook massacre events, which they weren't.
So next we have an anti-gun lawyer that was caught in the airport with a handgun.
Caught in the airport?
Yeah, yes.
Now, when you say anti-gun lawyer, you're just talking about some run-of-the-mill guy who doesn't really like firearms, right?
No.
No?
We're talking about David Malik, the original attorney for the family of 12-year-old Tamir Rice.
Okay.
And he was... he spent the night in jail after a .22 caliber handgun and a box of ammunition were discovered by airport security in his bag.
Interesting. So he was an attorney, and he ended up spending the night in jail for a .22 caliber handgun and a box of ammunition.
Right.
That he tried to fly with.
Exactly.
I see. Even an attorney can't figure out how to fly with a gun.
I guess maybe he's not that good of an attorney. He
didn't understand that he had to go declare that thing?
Apparently not.
Let's see. Okay.
But so goes the long string of people with positions of influence, we'll say, declaring that nobody needs a gun, yet running around everywhere with guns themselves. And expecting it to not be brought to justice when they violate said laws that they are trying to duplicate.
Brought to justice.
Right.
I like that. Well, it looks like our next news item is in your backyard here. It looks like Idaho.
Yes, yes, it happened in Idaho. Another instance in Idaho. This one is a positive one, and it gives us a subject that we haven't talked about. I don't think we've talked about it very much on here, but staying armed while you're at home, concealed carry is something that you should really look into, you know, if it's available for you. I'm sorry, John. And, you know, should be practiced a lot, but what do you do when you get home? Do you, you know, keep your firearm on or do you put it away? Well, this is a good case of you should keep that firearm on you because you don't know what's going to happen. So what happened was a guy was alerted by his dog, who's barking rather viciously. He retrieved his handgun and went to see what his dog was barking about. Well, there's an escaped convict who had been arrested with firearms while committing felonies and who had assaulted some people during his escape, was in his yard. And the individual did the right thing, said, "Don't move," called 911 immediately. Well, even though he was on the phone with 911 and he had his handgun, the escaped convict came at him. So the homeowner fired his weapon, they say several times, probably a couple times, struck the convict at least, the escaped convict, at least once in the leg. So he was arrested, the convict was rearrested and transported to the hospital for care. And we all learn a valuable lesson from this. You want to think about keeping your handgun on you, even though you're at home.
You know, I'm looking. I looked at the picture of the convict in this story, the escapee, and this is not a trustworthy looking fellow.
What do you mean?
What do I mean? I mean, if you watch Game of Thrones, this guy looks like one of the White Walkers. He's got like the bright blue eyes,
bald head.
He's got a bald head. He's kind of, you know, he's kind of withered a little bit, you know. It's zombie-esque kind of look going.
Yeah, he's weathered a little too. He's got a beard, a bald head. It's said in the article that he has links to gang activity.
The gang activity?
Or the Aryan Brotherhood.
Like the Ice River Tribe or the Ice River Clans, I mean? Or
No. The Aryan Brotherhood. Is what he's purported to be a member of.
Yeah, except with Tormund Giant's name.
John's going full geek on us.
Ooh, Dracarys.
That's all we need is him starting to speak it.
That's right. The nerdiest gun podcast or Second Amendment podcast you'll ever find. Oh boy. Sorry, I saw the picture of this guy looking at me and it was like I was looking into the soul of a White Walker, like I can see his soul.
Right. At least it's not as bad as that dude from Anchorage, Alaska who had the tattooed eye.
The tattooed.
You didn't see that, dude?
I don't think I remember that one. Wait, was that the one that had the eye tattoo like on his forehead or something?
No. This is a different guy. So there's a guy who was on trial for something. Maybe it was his probation hearing or something like that. And the lawyer, the prosecuting lawyer, said this guy obviously made a choice about, you know, who he wants to be, and you just look at him. Well, he has a half face skull tattoo on his face.
Oh, nice.
And his eye on that side has been turned black.
Oh,
There's a procedure to turn your eye different colors, and he had his eye turned black.
Like, not just like a black iris, like all black.
No, like his whole eye is black.
Oh, that's nice.
Right. So, yeah. So when they're just like, look at him, you know, you don't want to let this guy out of prison. I mean, just look at this guy.
He's not doing himself any favors, is what you're right. saying.
Right.
I like it. So he's got a little Lord of Bones action going, if you know what I mean.
Oh, boy.
We could do this all night.
So next, we have ATF making some more news. Well, I think it's news. You might think it's news too, John. Are you familiar with the M855?
Well, we did talk about it last week.
Okay. So the contact for the ATF that you could contact wishing to make your statement about whether this ammunition should be banned responded to a reporter's question, a Second Amendment advocate reporter's question as to, well, would this information come out, you know, any other way, like the Federal Register or any other means, which is, can you tell us what the Federal Register is, John?
The Federal Register is a regularly published, a periodical, if you will, publishing of all the proposed regulations and changes in administrative law.
Right. So they said, well, would this come out in the Federal Register?
A note about the Federal Register is it's massive. It's usually hundreds, if not thousands of pages. And the type is like really, really small.
Right. So they said the reporter asked, why hadn't we seen this in the Federal Register? Or are we going to see it in the next one? And the contact, I believe it's Mrs. Brown, stated.
That is correct. Denise Brown of ATF Enforcement Programs and Services.
So she stated that it wouldn't be included in the Federal Register because it's a change in the interpretation of the administrative law and not an actual change of any administrative law whatsoever. So therefore, it was exempt from being required to be published in the Federal Register. So they're changing how they interpret the administrative laws so they don't have to tell you that they've changed on how they're operating, I guess.
Yep.
Awesome. That's what our government wants to do to us now.
Yeah, it will not actually
change the way they operate.
It'll not actually be a change, but more of a policy along those lines.
Right.
More of a policy, really.
Right.
Yeah. You know, this used to be a paperclip, but
due to a new policy.
Due to my new policy, I actually use it to reset my router when I have to by straightening out one of the ends. But it's not a change in the paperclip. It's more of a policy decision. Whatever.
So, that's for our news. That's our news segment.
I'm going to start giving you demerits for every time you say so.
Okay.
You can give me demerits for whenever I intro the show using the word fresh.
Or saying
I do say
You do say
But if I say in the right way, it makes me sound intellectual. If you ever listen to President Barack Obama speak when he's off teleprompter, you'll know that is a sign of intelligence.
I try not to make my ears bleed very often.
How do you do that?
Uh
By not listening to President Barack Obama?
Correct. I know I'm going to see it sooner or later in some news segment. So
but
I
you'd
just
rather you'd rather hear it
from listening.
You'd rather hear it, but not in his voice. Like you're okay with hearing it, but you don't want to hear it in his voice.
I don't want to watch him or hear him say it.
Yeah, I've been there for a couple of years now. I'll let someone else tell me what he said later on. Right. It's like when they had the whole State of the Union thing. And you're going to watch the State of the Union? No, I'm not watching the State of the
Union. No, I'm not going to be told anything that I don't know.
No.
Well, anything that's factual that I don't know.
Right. Okay. All right, next up, going to our topics. Replica firearms identification training by Mr. Masad Ayoub.
Yeah, Masad Ayoub.
I just usually think of him as Mass.
Yeah.
Seeing his full name is kind of weird.
Masad Ayoub?
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right. So what does Mr. Mass tell us?
So he wrote an article on Backwoods Home one magazine. Demerit. What?
It's a one demerit.
I see.
I'm going to cut this. What does Mr. Masad Ayoub tell us?
Masad Ayoub wrote an article on BackwoodsHome.com, which is the Backwoods Home magazine website, and they have I think a lot of their content goes onto their website as well, and the article is listed as I want to see the syllabus, and it's discussing training for police in recognition of replica guns. So almost immediately he's like, well, let's knock down replica and see what it actually means. From the Merriam-Webster.com dictionary, replica means an exact or very close copy of something. So, another demerit, I know.
No, so... The premise behind this idea of being able to recognize replica guns is so that officers would be able to recognize a replica firearm versus a real firearm when they're out on the street, and they would not shoot someone with a replica firearm because they wouldn't be a threat to them. Is that the idea?
That is the idea.
Right.
Practice, however, is not exactly possible.
Well, and that's what Mass is laying out. Is he's saying, look at the definition of replica. And a replica is an exact or very close copy of something. So if you're going to train someone to recognize a replica versus the thing, how are you supposed to differentiate between them? If it's an exact copy, there's no way.
Exactly.
If it's a very close copy, it's going to be very difficult. And it would require closer examination than the glance you get when the kids or the guy's pulling something out of their pocket.
Right. Or reaching into his waistband to pull something out.
Mass goes on and he says, the reason that people use replica guns is because... either they can't get a hold of a real gun, that's number one, or they have this impression that if they use a fake gun in an armed robbery, that it's not really armed robbery. Right? I mean, that's the impression that they might be working under.
Right.
Is that, well, I didn't use a real gun to threaten someone's life, so it doesn't count as armed robbery. Newsflash, if you're out there thinking this, no, that's not how it works. And The third one would be, what about the guy who makes his gun look like a fake gun in the hopes that it causes a police officer to hesitate so that he has better odds of killing the officer?
Right. You can't take any chances when you're in that situation. You don't know if it's a replica or if it's a real firearm, like you said, that somebody painted to look like a replica.
Yeah, they could paint it pink or they could paint it orange or whatever it is that they want to paint it to make it look like, oh, well, it might not be a real firearm. And then the other problem is even if you do that, there are real firearms that aren't intended to look like fake firearms that are painted all kinds of different colors now.
Exactly.
The premise behind this training and how they're going to spot replica firearms is really one that probably puts our police officers in more danger rather than less.
Exactly. So it's a good article by Mass.
It is.
On crazy ideas that these people come up with.
Well, it's heart-wrenching. Like, when you hear the story about a kid who has a toy gun and he points it at a police officer and gets shot, right? We don't, you know, you don't know what's going through the kid's head, but for whatever reason, they decide to do this. It isn't a game. The police officer isn't playing with them, you know? And I know when you and I were young, you know, our parents did talk to us about you don't pretend that thing's real when it's not.
Right.
You don't point it at somebody who's, you know, not playing with you or whatever. Like, it's one thing to point it at a kid and, you know, do whatever, but it's another thing to point at some adult you don't know, you know, do bang bang or whatever it is that you're going to do.
Right.
I mean, it's just, you know, it's heart-wrenching.
But that is different than having a Nerf rifle while you're waiting to get on a school bus and then putting it down in your yard and getting on the school bus and being expelled because you're playing with a Nerf rifle before you got on the school bus. And people on the bus saw you playing with the Nerf rifle and it made them anxious or whatever the circumstance was.
That's so different. I'm not even sure why that would be related to this topic.
Well, it's related to kids with toys and toy firearms and stuff like that.
Yep.
Kind of.
Okay.
So there's, you have to use logic and reason to make a decision based on the facts of the situation at hand. And saying that cops will be able to render a decision in the milliseconds they have when someone's pulling something out of their waistband to point at them as to whether it's a gun, when for all intents and purposes, it's meant to look like a gun.
Exactly.
It's just reasonable to say you can't make that decision.
Okay. All right. So Mass has a great little piece on it. It's an easy, short read. We're going to link to it from the show notes that you can reach at BearArmsShow.com. We're going to move on to our second topic. This one's more of a discussion. We don't have a link for this one, but we do have an anecdote, a story, if you will. This week I was reading some articles that I had posted to my Facebook feed. One of them that came up, I looked at and people, you know, were responding to, hey, you know, and I happened to follow the link through to the article. And I noticed that, the article was a top 10 list on victims of gun laws, right? I don't know. Did you see this?
No.
Okay. So,
I didn't care.
It wasn't really an article, but it was more of like a listicle, I guess would be the way to go.
Listicle.
Yeah, a listicle. So it's a web article, but it's a top 10 list. It's just a list. So you have to, it's a list with a short description for each item on the list. And you have to, and it'll usually have a picture for each item. It has a short description, and then you click through to the next one. It's got another picture with a short description. So it's 10 links that you follow through to see the entire top 10 list, right?
Okay.
It's a list of the top 10 victims of state gun laws. And, you know, all the comments on it were good. So I clicked through to take a look at it. And I think I made it to, like, three or four in, and they had listed Marissa Alexander as one of the top 10 victims of the state gun law. You may or may not remember who Marissa Alexander is, but this is the woman, when we were talking to Andrew Branca, this is the woman who had shot the quote unquote warning shot, that flew past her husband's head into the wall. And then into the next room, and then into, like, the ceiling. And then proponents for her defense were saying that she shot, quote-unquote, into the air. Okay. Do you remember this conversation at all?
No. Vaguely? I remember a little bit.
Okay. So, there was no evidence that this was an act of self-defense. It was pretty clear that, you know, she had bore some ill will towards her husband. Whether or not he was ever at any point that day a threat to her, who knows. But she had gone, she had left the area where he was, went to her car, armed herself with a firearm, and then came back to shoot at him. Right? So this isn't, I'm trying to get away.
Right.
This isn't self-defense anymore. You armed yourself and came back to the confrontation. So the person who had the author of this didn't know this. They hadn't seen any of the reporting on Marissa Alexander. I'm not sure where that person got their information from, but they had listed her as a victim of a gun law because of the fact that she was facing quite a bit of time because this was her third strike or something. And because of Florida's 10/20 life law, she was facing quite a bit of time.
So if it's your third strike, I don't think you're the victim of any law that you've been charged with that's, you know, in the ballpark.
I don't remember what the other offenses were, if they were those that most people consider serious or not. But okay. it was under this idea of the mandatory minimum sentence, right? And a lot of us are predisposed against the mandatory minimum because we see them used, like in the Graves Act, it was used against people like Brian Aiken and Shanine Allen and
retired teachers Stephen with flintlock pistols.
And yeah, against all these people that we see in New Jersey, they're all being charged with crimes that fall under the Graves Act, because that's what happens when you get charged with unlawful possession of a firearm. So we have a natural predisposition against these mandatory minimums, particularly in cases of quote-unquote gun crimes that are usually possession-based. Well, in this case, it isn't about possession. It was about the so-called warning shot. But there's been this mythology built up around Marissa Alexander of the only reason that she was, you know, charged or convicted or anything was because of race. And how come it's okay for, what's his name? What's his name that everybody hates? You know what I'm talking about, too.
Oh, George?
Yeah, George. So it's okay for him to, you know, stalk and kill a kid in cold blood, but she fires a warning shot. This is the mythology, right? But she fires a warning shot to scare off her husband and his two children. and she's the bad guy who ends up going to jail, right? This is right. This is the way the mythology works. You know, and some of it's based in truth, but they twist it, you know, and they forget, you know, certain facts. You know, like Chavon was trying to kill George. Well, at least it certainly seems that way. You know, her warning yes. shot kind of, you know, looks like a miss.
Right. Right. When it's towards the person, then yeah. it's not so much a warning shot.
As when the ceiling it hits is in the next room and not the room you're in.
Then it's not a warning shot.
It feels less like a warning shot. But the defense is that it was a warning shot because if she had intended to hit him and then she missed, she would have kept shooting.
Right.
Which, okay, possible, but maybe not likely. I don't know. Anyway, I don't know how, you know, I'm not going to say that I know all the news that there is to know or that I know all the details of every use of force incident that happens across the United States. But on the big ones, you know, and especially if you're going to write about it, I think, you know, whatever due diligence you do, you're gonna have to go, you know, kind of extreme with it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I did comment
you
on
have
this.
You have to understand what yeah, you're doing.
Yeah. I did comment on it in a few. I saw it in a few places, so I commented on it a few places. I think I got the attention of the author at one point, and my basic idea was, hey, man, Marissa does not belong on this list. And apparently they had never seen the article. I linked to the article that Andrew had wrote about the mythology of the warning shot and the garage door that wouldn't open, but it worked fine for the police. And about arming yourself and going back to the confrontation. So, you know, hopefully you're able to get there. But, you know, there's a lot of people out there that they don't follow the news very closely.
Like you said, they read the headline and they don't right. read the article.
And I don't think that's what happened with this author. I don't think it's a matter of them headline surfing. I think it's a matter of this particular instance. There's been a disproportionate amount of attention paid to the propaganda side of it that was working for her and less paid to the circumstances as the evidence suggests it happened.
Right.
What are you going to do?
So
we have to be careful.
Need to read the articles if you're going to, you know, make any comments on them. Don't just read the headlines.
And you know, we got to really, you know, pay attention, pay close attention to the sources that we use. It's really important that, you know, we make sure to have a broad range of sources that we get our news from so that you can fact check things and determine, you know, which right. one is telling you the truth.
Unlike the Violence Policy Center, who just comes up with their own facts and figures from real information that makes no sense whatsoever.
Unless you're a listener to this podcast, then you don't need any other source for news or information. You're totally fine.
Just the Bear listening Arms
to
Show.
You can listen to the Bear Arms Show and then watch reruns of Dancing with the Stars all week long.
What? Or do they want to watch Dancing with the Stars?
Or Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones. That's cool, too.
You could date Game of Thrones is okay.
That's right.
But get out there and get some firearms training is what I'm saying.
You don't really need firearms training, guys. You just want to watch Game of Thrones all day. It's awesome.
Right. Game of Thrones will teach you everything you need to know.
I mean, unless you're in Idaho, and then you obviously need way more firearms training.
Right. Well, not as much as people from Ohio. They need 40 hours of firearms training. I think it was 14. 14 hours of firearms training before they can get their concealed carry permit.
So is what you're telling me is that now you have a business doing firearms training, they're going to be supportive of like stringent training requirements for concealed carry.
Yes.
Hundreds of hours of training are required.
Required by former members of the military and NRA certified pistol instructors.
Right. By only NRA certified former military instructors.
Former military police.
Yes. Yes.
Officers. Yes.
That's where you have to get your training from.
Exactly.
And only if they have epic beards.
Because they know it all. Yeah. The beard rounds out all their knowledge.
That's right.
And they know everything. Please. You know, those guys from New Jersey with beards aren't so bad themselves.
Well, their beards are more beardly than yours are.
I shaved.
I see that, weakling. Okay. I think that'll do it for this week. What do you think?
I think we're good.
Gotcha.
Maybe somebody will email us about our ranting and ravings.
Yeah.
Where can they email you, John?
They can email me at john@bulldeparture. Ooh, john@beararmshow.com. Actually,
john@beararmshow.com.
Here's actually the best way to get a hold of us. We actually have a contact page on the website. If you go to www.beararmshow.com, you're going to see a contact page on the very top. There's a link. There's also a link that's going to show up on the sidebar that'll be like, leave us a message or send voicemail. And if you use that, you can actually record your voice and send your voice to us. We might even use it on the show.
You know what? If you leave your phone number, I might call you back at a completely inappropriate time.
He might call you back. And when you don't answer and your wife does, he'll talk to her.
About guns.
That's right. Oh, what if it's the wife who calls you and her husband answers? Will you talk to him?
I'll talk to him about guns too.
Okay. Good to know. What are you wearing?
Well, I like this crossbreed holster with my... That's only wearing conversations that I have.
That's right. Oh, boy. How do you
right, care? So you can email me, mike@beararmshow.com, and I'll try to respond within a month.
Everything is at www.beararmshow.com. So just go there.
All right.
Show notes, this contact. Long, what were we saying?
If you've listened this long, send us a voicemail saying you listened this long, and we'll be shocked and awed. Maybe I'll mail you a 30-round magazine for an AR-15.
Yeah, we'll send you a gift. Send us a voicemail, we'll send you a gift.
Boom.
Shakalaka. All right, that's going to do it for this week. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Bear Arms Show. If you enjoyed today's show, please head over to iTunes to rate and leave a review. This helps spread the word, and we thank you for it. For show notes or updates about new episodes, please visit www.beararmshow.com.